Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Bills did win over the weekend. We also saw the Broncos win over the weekend, and yet it feels like it was a net positive for the Patriots, who haven't played since Thursday, and that's on the field and off. We'll get to Ja'Marr Chase. No updates there yet.
No.
Other than the league is investigating and there's precedent to suspend him. It is too quiet.
Yeah, a little too quiet.
Almost too quiet.
All right, league.
But I would say, Keith, I had two big takeaways from watching the games. I mean, number one, I think the best result for the Patriots was, oddly enough, the Broncos winning and the Chiefs losing. The Chiefs remain outside of the playoff picture. I think they're the scariest team in the AFC if you had to match up against them. You mentioned Baltimore earlier today. They didn't play well either, but they won.
They won, yeah.
Broncos, if the season ended today, would have the one seed. You'd be the two seed, but the Chiefs would be out of the playoffs. And as we discussed last week, I'd rather have the two seed and the Chiefs out of the playoffs than the one seed and Kansas City in.
Yeah, but the way things are going, you might get both.
You,
like, that's how
you
crazy
might
it
get
is.
Both.
There's a scenario now where you might get both because we're 11 weeks into the season and the Chiefs are still outside of the playoffs. And that's why you want teams like the Jaguars, Steelers, Chargers, all those teams that are kind of, you know, six wins or better, keep winning. Keep winning. Like, I feel like the Colts and Broncos will. Some of the other teams, you're like, all right, keep winning. Force the Mahomes out. It might be a scenario where you don't even have to play them. So, you know, it's like 0-2, where, like, the Patriots early dynasty, they missed the playoffs, and who knows what would have happened if that team and Tom Brady gets in and whatever else. But so they might stay out of it. I feel like the rest of the way, yes, the Patriots are 9-2, and so are the Broncos. But the Broncos have another game with Kansas City on the road. The Patriots could have a better record than Denver head-to-head the rest of the way, so they might have the number one seed. And who knows, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson might be out. Another way of looking at it is from the beginning of the year when we looked at the whole landscape of the AFC, and there was clearly like a top four quarterbacks, who are the top four quarterbacks in the league, let alone the conference. And right now, there might be only one of those four guys in the playoffs, and that's Josh Allen, who you already beat. Burrow, Jackson, and Mahomes might be outside of the playoffs. Obviously, Burrow is, but, like, that's a wild scenario. And even then, I was like, all right, well, that's good news for you, but maybe you still get in as a wild card. It's like, no. You have the stranglehold on the division right now. And that's another thing. Even though the results didn't all go in favor of the Patriots, right? The Bills did win, the Ravens did win, the Steelers did win. But just watching it and sitting back and watching all these other teams play, you're like, it confirms how wide open the league is, and then you feel even better about the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, like the way they played against the Jets. Jets are a bad team, but look at how the Ravens played the Browns. Like some of these, that's a division game. Like,
right, the Patriots still covered. And I didn't think they looked great, but they still covered on Thursday night.
Right.
And they only threw for one touchdown.
But there was also no doubt they were going to win.
Yeah.
I know they lost 7-0, but like they do that. And there was no doubt ever. Once they tied it, you're like, they're going to win this game. That Ravens-Browns game, you're watching, you're like, are the Browns going to pull this thing off?
They're going to do it?
No. If Dylan Gabriel's still in there, who knows? Maybe they do.
But the Ravens were losing
for a while.
Like deep into that game, whereas the Patriots were down for a possession,
like
they are if the other team starts with the football every single week. Other than that, the game wasn't in doubt. I agree. Look, I mean, ideally, Tampa beats Buffalo, and now you're really wrapped up the division. That would have been a best-case scenario.
Yeah.
But I still think it was a net positive weekend for the Patriots, despite them not playing. And I think if you watched a lot of the league yesterday, and I'm guessing a lot of you did, maybe you were, handling some household chores or whatever that were stacking up. You decided to take the weekend off.
Yeah, or a birthday party bounce house.
That too.
You know, it was there.
But if you were watching the league yesterday, right up through Sunday Night Football, I don't know that there's a team they can't play with.
No.
And I really felt that way watching the Eagles and the Lions late. Like, the Lions, to me, are another quality win for Philly. Philly has the most quality wins in the league. They probably have the best resume in the league. They're 8-2. Like, they're playing very, very well, or at least they're winning games every week. But then you watch them, and you're like, they scored 16 points, and they were clearly forcing the football to A.J. Brown last night, and the offense still looked broken.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like they've been off all year, but at some point, I got to give them credit. They're 8-2. Broncos, I do have more respect for the Broncos given their win over the Chiefs. We said going into the weekend,
Broncos,
if they beat KC, we got to take them more seriously. They beat KC. Bo Nix, again, I didn't feel like played great, but when he had to make throws, he made big throws, including the long one to Franklin.
Well, I think you got to get up big on them because he's kind of proven individually that if they have the ball last,
if
and they need to get
game,
in field goal range,
he'll execute.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll move down the field. And
the Chiefs are a good defense.
Chiefs are a good defense, and they played well for most of the game. But then between Cortland Sutton and Troy Franklin, he gets the ball down the field. Like, they don't have J.K. Dobbins. And really, R.J. Harvey didn't even do much. Like, they did a good job, the Chiefs defense overall. But you keep it with one possession, which oftentimes it will be because of how good their defense is. But I mean, that Broncos is tough. People on the text line are pointing out, if you happen to go 2 mile high, I agree, that's not ideal.
Oh, I wouldn't like that. If you're on the road at Denver,
that's tough.
Which, again, flies in the face, I guess, of what we were saying earlier.
No, but I'll take it because there's enough time to go. Like, I think they could lose one or two more. Maybe the Patriots only lose one more, and then you don't even have to worry about tiebreakers, and then you are the number one seed.
But if you're the 2 seed, and just playing that scenario out, that either or, where the Chiefs are out of the playoffs, but you're the 2 seed, you would be in line to go to Denver for an AFC title game, which wouldn't be ideal. It wouldn't be ideal.
No.
So Denver's playing well. Philly keeps winning. I don't know how well they're playing. I would say the Rams are playing really well.
Rams are good.
That's a good win against Seattle. They probably broke Sam Darnold yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kiss any MVP odds for Sam Darnold.
Oh,
goodbye forever.
Up in smoke.
Those are gone and done. But that's the short list of teams that you can say are playing as well as the Patriots. I don't think any of those teams are playing better.
No, this is where now I think this is where it might be getting to the point of cockiness. So for like several weeks, it was the Patriots can play with anybody. The Patriots can beat anybody, right? Like, that's sort of the general consensus. Now, like, after watching the league, is it, all right, well, who can beat the Patriots?
Right.
Like, I've kind of spun it the other way where you're like, all right, head to head against anybody. Who do you like? And so, for so long, we've been looking ahead to the schedule and saying, oh, they only have 2 more challenging games. Well, one of the challenging games, they already beat that team. Josh Allen has to be Superman every game for their team to have a chance. And he's that good where they're 7-3. But it's him. I'll give credit to James Cook, who's a good player. That's kind of it. Their defense is like slightly above average. Their offense is good because of Josh Allen. And then Baltimore, like, how good is Baltimore? Lamar Jackson doesn't look right.
No, like, to me, the Chiefs and Baltimore would be on the list, but right now they're not in the playoffs.
Right.
In fact,
no, but
right now they're not even the first team out. Oh, yeah.
So they play Baltimore, and everyone's like, because like the other day thinking like, all right, let's say they lose those 2 games. They're 13-4. Like, what a crazy record, like 13-4. But I'm not giving Baltimore or Buffalo that win. The Patriots can win those games.
I think it's fair to expect them to split those two.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they win both, and it doesn't mean if they lose both, it's like an epic failure.
But now we're talking about 14-3.
Right. But I think it's I don't chalk those up as losses.
No,
I'm with you on that. I get
no,
what you're saying.
No, I'm saying 14-3 sounds like you're like so pie in the sky, but it also seems very realistic when you're like looking at it. The Jets, they can't lose to the Jets. We saw what that team is. The Giants, with the state of affairs that they're in, they've already fired their coach. Their three best players probably won't be playing in that game. The Cincinnati Bengals don't have Burrow, and they might not have Ja'Marr Chase.
And,
so it's like,
and Flacco was awful yesterday.
Yeah, so like awful. Even this, like, wow, any given Sunday, like, I don't know. Like, a lot would have to happen for the Patriots. Like, the Patriots would have to have a collapse against some of these trash teams.
Yeah, you say the Dolphins? Dolphins are still on the
another
list.
One.
They're,
yeah.
They're playing better. Like, they have been playing better. I'll give them that.
But that's
they
also,
haven't totally quit on McDaniel, which I thought they would.
But last game of the season.
But you should still kill them.
Yeah, Miami, they're going to be done. Like, they're going to be legitimately done, eliminated from the playoffs, last game. And let's see what the Patriots are playing for. If they're playing for home field, that game will be crazy. Like, the amount of motivation for one team versus the other won't even be close. And it's not that good of a team.
But I look at the AFC playoff picture beyond their schedule.
Yeah.
All right, the Chiefs, to me, I disagree with the text line. Guys, are the Chiefs the scariest in the AFC? Kelce alone looks like a shell of his former
self.
He
was good yesterday.
He was good yesterday. Yeah. So
He's actually been pretty good this season.
Big picture, maybe you feel like he looks like a shell of himself.
I think
he
looks better this year than he did last year, regular season.
Probably. So the Chiefs right now are the ninth. They're not even the first team out in the AFC. Baltimore is another team I would have on that list. They're the 10 seed right now.
Yep.
Buffalo maybe is a team you would say that about. I still respect Buffalo. You already beat them. So then it's like Pittsburgh just lost Rodgers yesterday. Who knows for how long? I do not take the Colts seriously. I'm sorry. And I think Darnold, Goff, like some of these quarterbacks turning into a pumpkin, that's coming with Daniel Jones. Like that's going to happen with him. So he's going to be on that same list. I don't respect the Colts whatsoever, and I'm sorry. So like now what are we down to? Denver? The Chargers lost yesterday against the Jaguars. They still haven't stopped the run. Like, I don't even know how many teams are really legitimately on that list. The Bills could beat them. I mean, the Chiefs and Ravens, if they get in, could beat them. They're not in. And the Patriots have already beaten Buffalo this year. It's like, it's Denver and Bo Nix and that defense, and that's kind of the only one I'm really, really taking seriously
and
at this
Denver
point.
And Denver still has Green Bay, Kansas City on the road, and another game of the Chargers.
They have a tough
schedule. So like, there's three way tougher games than the Patriots. Well, Patriots have won, but like that's three pretty tough games. Their other ones seem actually toss Jacksonville in, right? Jacksonville, you never know which version is going to show up. They just smoked the Chargers.
Jacksonville is 6-4. They've also beaten Kansas City.
So they also play Denver. So Denver has the bye. Then they have Washington and Vegas. So they really should be 11-2 at that point. But then that final four games is, I mean, every game is going to be kind of a coin toss.
And not for
them.
Nothing. You're getting Buffalo in a good spot. You're at home waiting for them coming off the bye week.
And Buffalo also, because we're playing the schedule game, and this is the benefit of the last-place schedule versus a first-place schedule, the Patriots get the Giants from the NFC East, the Bills get the Eagles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be the difference. That's the second-to-last game of the season they play Philly.
617-779-7937, Keith. So that's on the field this weekend. How it looks and what's left for them, and there are other teams that could beat the Patriots for sure. But I don't know that anybody's playing better than the Pats, and I think if you watch the league yesterday, even right up through Sunday Night Football, they can beat any of these teams. And maybe you do have to flip it around, Keith, to the way you're looking at it. Who can actually beat the Patriots? Meanwhile, it's another sign that things are coming up, Pats. Ja'Marr Chase, probably, we don't know this definitively yet unless I've missed something in the last 5 minutes or so. Probably going to be suspended because he spit on Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey was ejected yesterday for throwing a punch at Ja'Marr Chase. He came out after the game. He said, well, he spit on me. That's why I punched him.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there is now video that backs that up. I'd imagine, based on the precedent, which started in game one this year, Jalen Carter, and this is high profile enough, where it's a big story, and I can't imagine the league doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You probably get the Bengals this weekend without Ja'Marr Chase. So that's just another example.
He did say post-game, quote, I ain't spit on nobody. That might hold up.
That, well,
it may not.
He should do.
Because there's also a lot of video of him, in fact, spitting.
He should
on
do
somebody.
The Jaylen Brown defense
in
about
his
the
appeal, he just play Shaggy.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't me.
Fifth.
He should, he should do the Jaylen Brown with his hairline on everybody's shirts there. He should be like, AI can do crazy stuff these days.
Nah,
should be his excuse.
He just spit right on
like,
him.
Prove to me that's me.
Yeah, that's and even still, even if they had Ja'Marr Chase, like I'm obviously thinking the Patriots that game and they're a touchdown favorite, but like without
how much easier
like,
does that make it?
Well, that's the puncher's chance. He has like a Drake London type game. It's super close, and you know something crazy happens, but you take him out. Now you're going in consecutive weeks, no Jamar Chase, no Malik Nabers, no Cam Scataboo. Like, yeah, that is coming up Patriots, all right.
This was Ian Rappaport earlier today discussing the situation as it relates to Jamar Chase. We could have an update today, really at any moment, about him getting suspended. Here was Rap Sheet.
The NFL is reviewing this, and precedent is there. If a player is determined to have spit on another player, missing a game is something that has happened. Jalen Carter to start the season is the example. So we will see whether or not Jamar Chase gets suspended this coming week.
Okay. I think he's going to.
I would assume so. Yeah, the league doesn't want that.
By the way, Nick just told me in my ear, I hadn't seen this. Fields is officially benched for the Jets. They're going with Tyrod.
They're going with T-Mobile.
Okay.
So does that make that rematch tougher?
Actually, yes.
Probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't make it easier.
Probably.
So that, well, I guess it's not all coming up Patriots then.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, but he can't really run. I know he's T-Mobile, but he's not like Fields. That was the only thing that was going for the Jets was Fields running the ball. He could not pass.
Should
go two quarterback system.
You hear Vrabel's explanation this morning? He's like, yeah, well, it's really hard to rep how fast Justin Fields is out there, and that's why he ate us up on that first drive.
Well, then you better get ready for Lamar in a few weeks. Maybe that game is going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah, seriously. Text line, by the way, 617-779-7937. Couldn't you say May is going to turn into a pumpkin too? You can. I mean, there's a long track record of Daniel Jones and Jared Goff and Sam Darnold crapping their pants. I mean, May does not have a track record of doing anything, but
yeah.
I don't know why you'd be expecting the other shoe to drop with him like you would with some of these other guys, but you could say that if you wanted to.
So this is one, maybe they misheard us. They're like, you guys are crazy. The unproven Patriots are somehow the team to beat over-established and proven teams. So who's established between the Colts, Broncos, and Patriots?
I mean,
really none of them.
If you want to say the Broncos were in the playoffs last year,
I guess.
You could give them that, but that's not a super established
team. They get bounced right out, and like it's still Bo Nix, right? No. Like I don't know if they're established. The established teams are the Chiefs,
KC,
which is why we're saying they are the team to beat, actually.
KC, Baltimore,
yeah,
and Buffalo.
I guess Buffalo, but even still, like Buffalo and Baltimore are more the ideas of them, and yes, they have some playoff success, but they've never won the conference. Like if Burrow is still in the mix, there's a little bit more of that. Because don't those guys all fall short too?
Yeah.
Like every year they fall short.
But I understand saying they're established, but you already beat Buffalo head-to-head. You're going to play Baltimore head-to-head, so let's see how that one goes. Kansas City, you're not going to face. And that team scares me if they're in. But right now they're not at 5-5. Like at some point, you have to start wondering if they're going to get in. I'd still bet on them getting in. But I've been doing that for a long period of time. They keep losing.
All right, let's see. Who do they got left? They have the Colts.
Yep. It's a win.
That's a great game.
That's a win, though.
But that's another, it's the same thing as this week where for the Patriots, it's a win-win.
It's a
right?
great
like,
game. I see
like
what you're
not,
saying. Yes.
Not,
yes.
Some, you know, either it's 5-6 somehow for the Chiefs or take one of those two win teams, give them a third win so you don't get, you know, caught up in tiebreakers with them or anything. Then Kansas City has at Dallas on Thursday night. Oh, that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's another Chiefs win.
The 4:30 Thanksgiving game, Chiefs.
Nice.
Cowboys. Nice is right. I like that. I didn't realize.
Pretty good.
Then Houston.
Probably a win. Houston's got a good defense, so maybe.
They do. That's Sunday night football. Then they have the Chargers. Then they have at Tennessee. I feel like they'll probably get the Titans. Then the rematch on Christmas against Denver. That's the other thing. Their schedule.
And that's at Arrowhead?
Yes.
The rematch is home.
And then their last game of the season is Vegas. So right. I'm with you. I think they'd get in the playoffs.
They're probably
as well.
Getting in, but it's not like they're playing great.
But they also have weird, like they have a Thanksgiving and a Christmas. I mean, like they have two 5-day like or 4-day weeks, like, and they have all these primetime games. Like they have a weird kind of schedule that obviously it's Mahomes. So
like all I would say when it comes to Kansas City, like I would give it up to their pedigree if they get in. They got to get in,
right?
And the way they've been playing, I thought when they got Rashee Rice back they were about to kick it into high gear and go to another level. That has not happened.
No,
that's what I thought was going to happen. That hasn't happened. One more here, text line. I like this, Keith.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Guys, how do you feel about the regular season matchup with Buffalo and then what would happen in the playoffs? If we sweep them in the regular season, it won't be easy to beat them three times.
I think it'll be easier, actually.
So do they have to take a dive in the regular season?
It.
Well, yeah.
Throw that game.
Because it's hard to beat them three times in a year, Keith. So you throw the regular season game to give yourself a shot in the playoff game should you meet up.
I've never really understood that
Me
cliche.
Neither.
Like, so you beat them twice.
You can't beat them a third time?
I mean, you could.
I feel like you kind of dominate.
You kind of have their number.
I didn't get that clear. There's a few cliches I don't get.
But people, like, hear that, like, it's not true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Third time. Oh, no way.
That's, again, not to throw hockey under the bus. Maybe. It's like you'd rather have a one-goal lead than a two-goal lead. Like,
right.
That's never really fully made sense to me.
No, but it's funny to say.
But it does get repeated often.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you don't want to have to beat Buffalo three times in a season, I guess.
No.
617-779-7937. More of your feedback here coming up. We will get to Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show this morning. Interesting answer about, you know, some of the players on this team hungry for a second chance in the league. And I think in some ways he was talking about himself. So we'll revisit that. We'll also get to Milton Williams, now on IR. Bad news for the Pats defense. And is their defense championship caliber even with Milton Williams?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Get to that. So that was Mike Vrabel after the game on Milton Williams, who since has been placed on IR. He's going to miss 4 games, 5 weeks, with the bye week in there.
Yeah, this is the thing that's really flying in the face of everything coming up Patriots. Right? It's not all coming up Patriots.
No,
like,
that's
they're not 100% healthy.
It's true. I wonder if and wondered earlier, it was initially reported as a high ankle sprain. But the fact that he's on IR has me a little suspect about whether or not that's exactly what it is. I said earlier you typically miss like 3 weeks for a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
That is that's fantasy football knowledge, Keith, is what I would say.
Oh, good stuff.
But
good intel.
Here's what I didn't really factor in. And we got a lot of texts about this. I think it's fair after doing minimal research on it. I mean, Milton Williams isn't exactly Jahmyr Gibbs or like some running back size guy.
No, he's a hoss.
So I was trying to do research on bigger players.
Hoss of the week. Oh, you're doing research on bigger players?
Yes. Joe Alt?
Yep.
Out for the year now, high ankle sprain.
Hmm.
Okay. Now he needs a surgery. I don't know that Milton Williams needs a surgery.
All right.
I saw DeForest Buckner miss five weeks last year with a high ankle sprain. So maybe that's a closer timetable for a guy of Milton Williams' frame. All I can tell you is Mac Jones missed, what, three games? CeeDee Lamb didn't go on IR with a high ankle sprain. So, like, at least skill position players, I don't pretend to know as much about the track record with a larger frame. And maybe they're just like, we're 9-2. Get yourself right, and you'll be fine. I was surprised to see him go on IR in a vacuum for a high ankle sprain. Never mind.
Yeah.
When you have the bye week in the middle of it, there's an extra week already. And I just wonder if it's worse than what is even out there.
Yeah,
I would hope I'm wrong about that, but that's what I'm wondering.
And when the injury happened, you're like, all right, well, maybe that's sort of like the one benefit of Thursday night football. You know, you sort of start that week a little bit earlier. So
that's
I'm thinking
true.
Like he has
kind
like of a
another
week
half week too.
And even still, they decide to err on the side of caution. They would never come out and say this, but maybe it is your point about, all right, we're 9-2. We kind of are ahead of the curve here. And so even though the expectation now is playoffs and being ready for playoffs, well, let's make sure this guy is good to go. We're not going to see, like, test him out there in 2 weeks and be like, oh, you can't really go. And then that just, there goes the season for him.
I also would say it doesn't really feel like they're missing a roster spot anywhere in there. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
I look at their inactives every week. I don't know, like, how urgent it is to get the roster spot. If you thought he could play, like, putting it a different way, if you thought he could play against Buffalo or Baltimore, I would personally want the option for that. I want to rush him out there.
But this way you
can
really...
But if he's cleared and he's good, I would like him in one of those games. And,
yeah,
you know, not risk, quote unquote, losing a roster spot.
I don't know. Maybe it's just more of a, all right, we're not even going to have him, like, try to push it. Like, we're telling you right now, like, you
don't
are not
it.
Playing for these games. So if you just want to ice it for, like, a week straight and don't even do anything, like, I guess you're now afforded that. So because they have two games, then they have the bye week, and then they have two more games. So if the IR rules are four games, unfortunately, that means he's out against both Buffalo and Baltimore. But he could theoretically be back two games to go before the playoffs. So it's not like even the playoffs would be his first game. So, yeah, this is not ideal. I think he's clearly such a big part of their defense and has been living up to the contract in every way. But, yeah, they're going to have, you know, whether it's Tonga or whoever else, someone's going to have to step up and be and play a lot more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they have some depth there.
They do. They have a few guys that have flashed.
You know, between Tonga and Barmore, although Barmore's been dinged up at various points this year, I think they have enough depth on the interior to get through 4 weeks, assuming Milton Williams is back for the playoffs. So obviously that's what you want. You want him healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. I just wonder if they put him immediately on IR, especially the way Vrabel was talking about it after the game. Like, Vrabel almost made it sound like he could have gone back in. In fact,
well,
he was
standing on the sideline for a while,
he
right?
He did go back in after he initially, yep. He got hurt on the opening series. He did go back in.
Yeah.
He was standing on the sidelines. He was like out there high-fiving guys coming off the field. Vrabel made it sound like he could have gone back in, and now he's on IR?
Yeah.
Like, to me, something doesn't quite add up there.
Well, especially because this team earlier, they already showed you, if they think they can get the guy back sooner, they won't put him on IR. Like, so Christian Gonzalez, which we spent a lot of time on the first month of the season.
Good point.
Didn't go on IR and missed three games. So, really, they ended up making the right call. Like, they went with one guy less on their 53-man for 3 weeks, but then they didn't have to wait till week five. They got him to make his debut week four. So, like, that kind of worked for him. But with this one, they're going the other way. Like, they're just immediately putting him on the shelf, and we won't see him for a while.
Yeah, I'm not even saying what the Patriots are doing is wrong.
No, no,
I just, my fear would be, from the way Vrabel was talking about it, we just played it for you after the game. It sounded like he could go back in. Now he's missing 5 weeks?
Yeah, I don't think he could have gone back in.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not worse than they initially thought or that they're letting on, because he is a, obviously, significant piece of the Patriots and this show, Keefe.
We liked
talking to him on Friday.
We learned a lot about him this year.
And we're not going to be doing that. Well, fortunately, we figured it all out right before he got hurt. We did a nice deep dive on Milton Williams, and we got all that intel right before he got hurt.
Well, he'll have more time. I mean, if he still wants to join the show, he's welcome.
Oh, that's true. He was scheduled to join us this Friday. He is, you know, Aaron and Stacey, if you're out there listening.
Yeah, we'll have him on.
He is still welcome on the program if you want him to join us on a Patriots Friday. Meanwhile, it's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe with Milton Williams, Keefe. Let's say he's back.
Mm-hmm.
He's healthy. They're ready to go for the postseason. Is it a championship caliber defense with Milton Williams?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, that's another thing from this weekend watching all the other teams. It's not just, you know, the skill position guys. It's also watching all the defenses, and some certainly a lot better than others. I don't think the Buffalo defense, for example, staying in the division and your one true rival, I don't think there are any great shakes.
Good point.
I think you could make the argument here where the schedule comes in and they haven't exactly played a murderer's row. I get it. So them being fifth in points allowed. All right. Like, you've played some bad quarterbacks. Okay. But you've also played 11 games. This isn't just like three games against Cam Ward. Like, he played 11 games.
And their run defense, Williams is a huge part of that, but their run defense has shut people down all year.
And great running backs. Like, legitimately great running backs have been held to under 50 yards. They obviously have that opening drive thing, which is bizarre, but they've been able to overcome it just about every single time. Even in like their loss against the Steelers, like, not really putting that on the defense when the offense turns it over five times. So I've liked what I've seen from the defense. I think, especially if Milt Williams comes back, between Williams and Barmore, that's as good of a duo on the defensive line probably in the league. Gonzalez and Davis, I've been a little underwhelmed with Davis, but I still love that cornerback duo. I thought they could have maybe improved a little bit more at safety at the deadline. They chose not to do that, but
A lot of people felt like edge rusher, and you saw Jalen Phillips again last night was an absolute monster for Philly games since they got him.
Oh, he's been awesome. But yeah, but the Pats don't have a lot of depth there, but like the guys that they play are good. Like, I have no problem with the guys right now that are out there. So, no, one of the many reasons for the turnaround, right? Like, it's you go from 4-13 to 9-2. Yeah, a lot of it's Drake May, but it can't all be Drake May. Like, this defense is dramatically different. So, yeah, I think it's a championship defense.
So, Mike Reese had a couple of nitpicks in his Sunday notes, which I like. I like evil Mike Reese.
Well, it can't all be great.
He said, other than the obvious injuries, what potential pitfalls could the Patriots face for the rest of the way? One, you just referenced, Keith, slow starts on defense. We talked about that a ton. They are tied for the NFL lead, allowing six touchdowns on opening drives. He had two more nitpicks. One was on defense, one on offense. Limited ball disruption, Keith.
Oh, boy.
They're not turning teams over. That was part of the oath I took with marriage, I think. one forced turnover over the past three games, and it was a bad jet snap when Fields kicked it to him. That's the only turnover they have in the last three games. I guess I didn't realize that until I was reading Reese. So there are some questions about defense. Slow starts, they're not turning you over. You mentioned they haven't faced a lot of good quarterbacks. I'm not going to say they can't win a Super Bowl because of this defense, but I have a lot more questions on that side of the ball than I do on offense for the Patriots and them being championship caliber.
Yeah, but I do think it's close. Like, so you would argue the offense is better than the defense?
Yeah. Like, I'm much more confident in the Patriots scoring a bunch of points against Buffalo or scoring a bunch of points against the Ravens. I'm less confident in the defense getting stops.
Yeah, I get what, because that first drive is like so just like ingrained in your head than your memory, because the other team makes it look so easy almost every week, but then for the rest of the game they shut it down.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So like I don't know how to square that away either. So just looking at points per game and yards per game, right? The defense, as I said, was fifth in points allowed, eighth in yards allowed. The offense is seventh in points scored and ninth in yards. So like when you look at that, okay, that kind of is a wash. So then you just base on like watching it. I guess I probably do have slightly more confidence in the offense, but I don't think it's one
but
of those
it's close
teams
for you.
It is close for me.
Yeah, I guess
I don't
it's
think
less
it's
close.
Yeah,
for
okay.
Me, yeah.
I don't think it's one of those teams just because, like, where the Patriots just snuff out the run, I'm not as confident that the Patriots can run when they want to. They've had a couple of games where, like, Henderson's ripped a run here or there, but if they need that against the team, I don't know if they have it. Like, they might be forced to have Drake May throw it, which, again, they can also win it that way if need be.
617-779-7937. The other issue that Reese cited was red zone offense, where they have not been great. 60% in the red zone, 23 touchdowns on 39 trips. So that's another area they can improve on. Matt is waiting patiently in Dallas. Hello,
all
Matt.
Right.
Hey, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
You know what? I compare you guys to what I went through when Dak Prescott came into the league. Dak came into the league. He was a quarterback that wasn't drafted, wasn't as a top five. He was a top four. They went 13-3. The team was coming off a schedule where they had got a last place team schedule, and they did what they were supposed to do. They ended up falling into a quarterback that kicked their ass in the playoffs.
Yeah, so Matt, we actually talked about this a little bit last week. He confused me with the Dak Prescott stuff. He said top four or five pick. I think
he was
fourth round
pick.
I think he meant rounds.
Yeah, but he won that job, and Ezekiel Elliott was their first round pick that year and was a house of fire.
May was a very highly drafted quarterback, so I really didn't get the comparison there. But we referenced another story from Reese last week. The Patriots had four wins a year ago. They won nine of their first 11. They're one of three teams to do that. One of them was the 2016 Dallas Cowboys, who went 13-3 and lost their first playoff game against Aaron Rodgers. Dak Prescott was also a second-year quarterback in 2016.
No,
he did it,
a rookie year.
He did it in his first 2 years. You're right. Where he came out and won eight straight games in their first 2 years, which is also similar to May. May's year two, Prescott was a rookie. So there are some parallels to that Dallas team, but Prescott was a fourth-round rookie. Drake May was the third overall pick in year two.
Yeah, no, it's different. I don't know if he's just saying, like, oh, they had an easy schedule, so they got there. They didn't go to the divisional round. You know, like, that's, I don't think that's the end of the world. They
had the bye, so the format was a little different, right? I think two teams got byes then. The Patriots are going to maybe be one team getting a bye week, but Dak didn't win a playoff game that year.
And they lost to Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, and was that like a probably an MVP season for him? Like, I don't even remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's really a ton of shame in that.
It also was close. I don't think Dallas, like, didn't prove themselves.
They lost by three.
They lost 34-31.
And then they followed that up the next year by going 9-7 and missing the playoffs. But then the year after that, they bounced back and went 11-5 to the divisional round. So I know it's not been, like, a history of winning over the last 30 years for Dallas. They haven't been to a NFC championship game since 95. So that's – but I don't really get the – is he the point that they're going to fall off a cliff at
I think
some point?
So. Oh, okay. That's how I took it.
Dak also shattered his ankle or whatever, so there's that.
It's fool's gold, as a wise man once said.
Oh.
I think that's that was my interpretation.
All right, would you rather?
The Cowboys comparison. I can't imagine that's a flattering comparison.
I know it's not Wednesday yet, but would you rather?
Yes.
Have Mike Vrabel as your head coach or Jason Garrett?
Ooh, I would take Vrabel in that.
Okay,
spot. I would.
Maybe another difference between the two franchises.
Let's not blow it up before Wednesday, though.
Sorry.
Sit on that good stuff. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback here coming up. We'll get back to Bill Belichick. His statement out of nowhere. Apparently, guys, NFL teams, don't even ask Bill Belichick.
No.
He's not interested. He doesn't want your job. He's committed to UNC.
Very committed.
Don't pay attention to that buyout. No. That he has at North Carolina. We'll circle back to that. And we should get to Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Very interesting answer about some of these players getting second chances in New England, how hungry they are to not blow this opportunity. And I think he was talking about himself in some ways. So we'll get to Mike Vrabel, his appearance this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Show next.
How's Pat's victory on Thursday night? Sitting here at 9-2, 8 wins in a row. They get back at it against the Bengals on Sunday. We're not anticipating Ja'Marr Chase in that one for Cincinnati.
No, no official word on that one yet, but they have a track record of spitters. They usually suspend those guys.
Yep.
Typically.
That's how the NFL tends to handle that one. Going right back to, again, signature game, kicking off the year, Cowboys and Eagles, Jalen Carter right away. Yeah. Well, that was kind of... He was kicked out of the game, and then he was retroactively, like, didn't have to miss the next week for a suspension because he had already missed all of it.
True.
Is kind of how they handled that. So maybe that's more gray give it credit for.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's playing.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel on the program this morning, Greg Hill Show, every Patriots Monday throughout the year, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. It was interesting to hear him kind of in this setting compared to the morning after a game. And I feel like there were opportunities to go a little more expansive, including on Mike Vrabel and some of the players on the roster and how things are different in a second go-round here as a head coach. Here's the exchange. We'll react on the other side.
I mean, I think just try to enjoy it and try to enjoy what we do and where we do it and who we get to do it with. You know, I've had players that have been released before and you get them and they know that what that feels like to have been cut, and they don't want to feel that again. And so they do everything they possibly can to not let that happen. So maybe they don't take things for granted. And, you know, certainly being let go or fired or cut, whatever you want to call it, you know, you don't want to let that ever happen again and try to take advantage of the opportunity that we have.
Okay, so I jumped out to you, Keith. Why?
Couple reasons. One, I think he's talking about himself, right? Because he even throws in not just cut, but like fired. Right, like players aren't really fired.
No, that's a good point.
You know, but he tossed that in there. So I think it's also how he feels about where he's at right now. And I think you are going to like just naturally get, for lack of a better word, like more of a hunger, I guess, for like players who have been cut. No, like had to question what their future was in the league, and now they have a spot, and they're not going to let that go. Also, it was a few weeks back during the broadcast. I forget which duo it was. Maybe it was Arch. Maybe it was Spiro and Arch.
No, it wasn't.
It was somebody else.
No, I think it was Nance and Romo. Wasn't it the game?
Maybe
wasn't
it was.
It the Tampa game?
And they referenced that.
Yeah.
And
so
I was
you brought this up to me before the show. I did not make this connection.
It seemed like a talking point.
But you brought this up to me. I think it was the Tampa game, Nance and Romo. And they're like, you know, there's a lot of players on this roster that have been cut elsewhere.
He even had the number, I think Romo did, where he's like six of their defensive starters or something like that. They were like very specific about guys who have been cut, given a second or maybe in some like third chance. And it's another thing that maybe speaks to like the overall chemistry of the team. Like they have like a good mix of guys. Like, yeah, there's the first round picks. Like Christian Gonzalez has never been cut. He doesn't know what that's like. He's a highly sought after guy. He's probably going to get paid a ton of money.
Will Campbell.
Some of those guys don't. But then you have a bunch of other veteran guys in there too that maybe saw their careers kind of flash before their eyes. They just didn't know where it was going to be. And now they've all landed in a spot where, I don't know, it seems like everything is going in the right direction.
I think it's just another way to play up the underdog role, which, look, they won, whatever, four games each of the last 2 years, and they were lucky to win four last year. So I think that's a realistic thing to play up, but at some point that does flip. Like, you're 9-2, and teams like Buffalo are going to be looking for their revenge in a second matchup. Baltimore is going to be playing for their playoff lives in a few weeks. So I do think at some point that flips, but... You know, I mean, it took forever for that to flip with the Patriots when Vrabel was a player. They still viewed themselves as underdogs after winning two and sometimes three Super Bowls.
Oh, Rodney Harrison thought everybody picked against them in every game.
So, I mean, maybe that's some of what Vrabel's trying to play up there. I agree with you. He's talking about himself. The second opportunity, and I've been fired, and these guys have been cut, and we're not going to let that happen again. And right now, that's just another example of him having his guys playing for him. And I do think fostering that underdog mentality, keeping them hungry. I think that's been something that Vrabel's excelled at.
It's also a little bit of their thought process when filling out a roster. Like going back to this is his first year, him and Stretch and Cowden like putting together the roster. So, yeah, you obviously need high-end guys like Milton Williams and Steph Diggs and stuff like that. But even Steph Diggs coming at it from a different point than 5 years ago, he didn't just get traded for a first-round pick and sign a huge contract. He was available for everybody, and they're the only ones that wanted him. So maybe he felt like real buying opportunity, if you will, to get Steph Diggs. And then other guys that sort of fit his system and maybe got cut from other teams along the way or played for Terrell Williams or played for Josh McDaniels and then just kind of found like a landing spot for all of them.
No, I think there's a chip on the shoulder here.
Yeah.
And I think that that's easy to say when they're 9-2 and they win every week. No. I mean, I do think that's a cliche, but I do think some of the guys on this team are playing that way. As we've referenced a lot, most of the coaching staff had some connection to these players, like pretty much up and down the roster.
Yeah.
And so I think they had good intel on these guys. They knew what they were getting, and they got guys who were going to buy in and play a certain way. And I think you're seeing that.
It is
on
nuts.
The field week after week. It's easier when you play the kind of joke schedule they played, but they are doing it.
And it's crazy that there really hasn't been a big swing and a miss in free agency. Like everybody has sort of hit what they expected or exceeded it. You know, the draft is different. The draft's more of a crapshoot, but even the draft overall has netted like a lot of value.
Draft overall has been really good. We're back to Kyle Williams might be that example.
Yeah.
It looked good 2 weeks ago off a long touchdown. But we're back to him as probably the best example of a swing and a miss personnel-wise, but there haven't been many.
But that's also in year one, and I don't know how many teams could say, hey, we have six rookies that are contributing at this level that's going on out there. But yeah, like they're free agents where like 2021 was like a really good – hey, we're spending money free agency, and you got Matt Judon, and you got Hunter Henry, and you got Kendrick Bourne, but you also got Johnny Smith, who like didn't do a thing, and you got like a couple other guys that were like, all right, well, okay, like I'm glad they spent money.
Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, good one. Yeah. Like you got a few of those guys mixed in there too, where you're like, all right, well, that was a real misevaluation. Like I don't think they've misevaluated any of their free agent guys, and I think some of it might have been like the personality that like Vrabel was speaking to.
No, so I thought that was interesting. The only other thing that jumped out to me, he was asked back-to-back questions about, well, you said you picked Drake May, and that's a big reason why you came here. He elaborated on that. He was also asked about the Jets' interest, which I think we were early on last week kind of revisiting and circling back to. You know, he didn't really give you a specific answer.
Yeah.
But he did say, you know, you kind of add everything up when you do these interviews, and this is the choice I made. Like, he made it sound like, well, yeah, I had some interest in the Jets, but I chose here. And so I thought in some ways that did kind of justify, like, yeah, I was thinking about the Jets, but this was the choice that I made. So worth a re-listen. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app. Every single Monday, Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show. Use the Rewind feature, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also keep it locked in here on WEEI and on the Odyssey app for Drake May, who joins WEEI Afternoons coming up at 3 o'clock today. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to Bill Belichick, his statement seemingly out of nowhere over the weekend. He is not interested in NFL jobs.
No.
So please, stop asking.
Yeah,
stop asking, would you? It's starting to bother him, is what it's starting to do. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.